You don't prepare in the battle, you prepare for the battle. You don't play away your preparation. It's a season. It will not always be there. You know, I've said this to people. If you rush out when you are not prepared, your generation will not forget you. They will note you and not forget that you are a mediocre. Any soldier that gets to the battlefield then start learning how to shoot a gun is a dead soldier. You are not in ministry to compete, you are in ministry to war. If you want to compete at all, the only person you should compete against is yourself.
Pastor Femi Lazarus has been commissioned to go raise God's end time army. Sit back and be blessed as a good soldier of Christ.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands to Him. Oh, we give you praise. Just bless the name of the Lord. Let it come from the depth of your heart. Let everything within you magnify and give Him praise. Be enthroned, O Lord. Be enthroned, our dear Father. We give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. We have worshipped, and our dear Father, we give you praise for yet another opportunity to be in your presence. What an honor! We bless you, Father. We ask this morning that your word will be demystified and men will have access to your revelations. We give you praise, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Now help me with so much joy and gladness. Celebrate streams of life. Thank you. Thank you. Please be seated. Church, please be seated. Thank you. Hallelujah. Good morning, church. So we are starting a new journey today. We set for the journey ahead. Amen. We are going to be studying into the book of Revelations. All right, so get yourself set. This is the kind of class that you should not miss any, because you may miss just right a service. You come back, you are lost. You hear what I'm saying now? All right, so be sure that you are attentive. Father, I ask that your children's eyes of understanding is enlightened. They have access to deep mysteries in the name of Jesus. Give you praise. Can we sing this song? Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Lord spoke to me, and the Lord said, it will amaze you that the Lord is even now speaking, not even about the condition of Nigeria, but what the Lord is talking about now is what to prepare for after the storm. Because as far as God is concerned, it's a done deal. And I remember the Lord gave me a word that their kingdom will crumble when it is at its strongest. Is that okay now? And the Lord spoke to me and said, you need to prepare for what happens after nations begin to enjoy development. And I said, Lord, what's this? And the Lord said, prepare my church against the spirit of liberalism. I was telling my wife yesterday, at the next pandemic that the church will have to fight in Africa is homosexuality. Spreading amongst us like virus, senior ministers bringing young boys into it, people using it as a key to give men platforms, and they are being covered up. Let me say this to you. We are in the season that you cannot afford to say you trust somebody because they are close to a pastor you trust. God doesn't show me everything. Somebody can be around me messing up in grand style and God won't speak. It is mercy for God to reveal it. If God keeps quiet, the fellow is going to experience judgment. So don't say somebody is in so and so church, and because you trust the grace there, it can't misbehave. It's a lie of the devil. Judas was close to Jesus. Are you following me? Alright, so now we need insight, particularly at such a time as this, into the book of Revelation. So what I'm going to do this morning is to introduce you. Is that okay? To the book of Revelation. So we do a lot of definition of terms, then understanding of the codes, the locks in the book of Revelation. Is that okay now? I've been studying this book actively for the past 10 years. Alright? I posted this yesterday. Somebody chatted me up and said, you've been dealing with this for a while. Alright? And we are still here. We'll still deal with it more. Are you following me? Now, at least, and yeah, I should tell you, when we are done with the book of Revelation, we now go into the book of Acts of the Apostles. Is that okay now? So we pick chapter by chapter. Mighty men are rising. Can I hear amen to that?
Amen.
All right, so get yourself set. Turn your Bibles now. We should read together. Revelations chapter number 1. Revelations chapter number 1. Introduction to the book of Revelation. Revelations chapter number 1. If you are there, say amen. Now, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to shew unto his servants the things which must surely come to pass. So we're going to look at it. What's the first word there? Sorry, this board is not stable, so my writing might be affected. I don't have a bad writing. That's number one. What's number two? Two is what? Servants. About the things that must come what? Shortly. Timing. Let's read again. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to shew unto his servants. So, let me give a breakdown. The man of God who received the revelation, or the revelations of the book of Revelation, alright, was John. You know John? John the Beloved. The one that Jesus was speaking about in John 21. That if I wish that he will stay alive till my coming, what do you have to say about that? the only one who described himself as the beloved. Is that okay now? They were all beloved, but it was the only one who dared to say he was the best. And Jesus allowed him so. As a man thinking his heart, so is he. Alright, so an emperor came after the death of Jesus. Alright, and across history, we've had the spirit of Pharaoh. We had the operation of that spirit in kings that fought against Israel. Nebuchadnezzar. We had the operation in Herod. Alright? And the next time we're having that operation again was in the days of an emperor called Emperor Nero. He was against the church. He was killing all them that are named after Christ. So they've killed many of the disciples. Some were flocked to death. Luke was beheaded. Paul was beheaded. Paul, they cut his head. Peter was nailed to the cross. And he requested that I'm not worthy to die in the same way like my master. That he should please be turned upside down. And they turned him upside down. Alright. Some in those days, some were caught with sword. They were sawn asunder. To some, they will tie the hand on the other hand of an horse and tie the other leg on the other hand, and they will flog the horses and they will run in different direction with the body hanging in between till finally the fellow is disjointed. In those days, what they do in amphitheater, alright, is that they gather women and children who have been running secret churches. You must understand that Christianity rose through persecution. Is that okay now? And then they will gather them up, and then that was the fun, that was the game of those days, and gather them in amphi, and people will sit down and they will release lions to women and children and their husbands. All right, and they will be eating them, and then they will be clapping and say, ah, lion has gotten that. So they were hunting. The disciples were the most wanted of that time. So John was the only one who was so old. Many of them had died out. So John was so old. And finally they caught him. Alright, and then they wanted to kill him. In those days, they experimented death with many of them. They wanted to kill him in an unusual way. So they decided to fry him. So they fried John. And after the frying process, he came out not dead. So they said, what kind of thing is this? Then they bundled what was left of the body and went to dump him on an island called the Island of Patmos. Are you following me? And there he was. At that, left next to nothing stage of his life. Because we didn't get the account that John was unhurt. But we got the account that he didn't die. That's why he was alive to see this. Alright? So, on that island of Patmos, he noticed that something began to happen to him. And you need to understand this, that there are people in our generation who are still receiving revelations of what God is doing and what God will do. There are men who are gifted and blessed to see. Are you following what I'm saying here? We have men like Rick Joyner, Kenneth Egan, men who walk with God and enter into that point where God decided, I will show these ones of things to come. So, look at it. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him, to shew unto his servant. So those who are in active service of the kingdom should be very concerned about what is written in the book of Revelations. Things which must shortly, that's the word, shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant, meaning that, all right, the angel didn't teach him revelations. Angels are not teachers. Angels have never taught. They are not good teachers. All right, they are messengers. Are you following what I'm saying now? They give things as they have been sent. So the angel brought signs. All right, but let's continue so I can show you a few things more. Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw? Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now this is a matter of close to 2,000 years. Alright? Because our current day calendar started with AD 1, AD 2 and all those things from the death of Jesus. In fact, theologians told us that John was around the age of 96 precisely. Alright? When he began to get into this. Before I continue, let me share something with you. Yesternight, I just climbed upstairs in our house. And I was with the Lord and I was asking him questions. There are things that are true and are real. But our generation still considers them mystical. And there are things that are actually mystical, they are not of God. So the devil is trying to junk the boat together so he can discredit certain things. But there are certain possibilities that you are going to be open to as we study the book of Revelation. Is that okay now? And if they are written in scripture, you should believe it. Is that okay? Alright, now go to verse 3. John. Okay, go to verse 2 again. Let's. Alright? Okay. Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw? Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia. So these seven churches is churches you need to pay attention to. Seven what? Churches in Asia. Alright, actually it is Asia Minor. Alright, our present day Turkey. So these seven churches were in Turkey. All. So he said, John, this is a message to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits that are before his throne. So we have another term, the seven spirits. Are you seeing that now? Are you following? Are you sure? Please pay attention. Now verse 5. And from Jesus, who is the faithful witness, and from the first begotten of the dead. So when he's saying, and from Jesus, it's still continuous introduction. Right? Because you see, he also said, and the first begotten of the dead. That term was used because no one has ever been swallowed by the grave, and yet the grave vomited them until Jesus came out. Are you following? So he led captivity captive. He set those who are in the bondage of death, he set them free. Alright? And the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and had made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. All right. Powerful introduction. Verse 7. Behold, a comet with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. So let me show you this. I've thought about this before. There are order of events. Oh, thank you. I thought about the last days, just right. So there are order of events. Number one, we have let's say the post rapture tribulation, right? Then we have the rapture, right? Talk to me now. Then we have, after the rapture, we have right there in the clouds the marriage supper of the Lamb, right? Then we have the great tribulation, right? Talk to me now. Then we have the war of Armageddon. Don't worry, I'll explain. Then we have the second coming. So when he said, behold, he cometh in the cloud and all eyes shall see him. This is not the rapture. This is the second coming. At rapture, not all eyes shall see him. As a matter of fact, the rapture will be signified by the blast of the trumpet by an archangel. And the dead in Christ shall rise, and they will go to meet him in the clouds. Alright, and what you should know about the clouds is that, for instance, plane flies above the clouds. Am I right? And then when they get to certain altitude, you don't see them. They are covered in the cloud. So at the rapture, he is sealed. Alright, there in the cloud waiting for us. And that's why we have that scripture in Jude. Said unto him that is able to keep us from falling and present us spotless. Just the same way a man wants to get married, and he will go to present his bride. Alright, to the Father. But in our case, alright, the Holy Spirit is the one who is doing the presentation of us to Christ. Then Christ our presentation to the Father. So let me explain. The Holy Spirit is the Lord of the harvest. He's the one who will take the harvest of the earth. And that's why the Bible said, if the Spirit that raised Christ from death be in us, that same Spirit will quicken our mortal bodies. So at rapture, it is the Holy Spirit resident in believers that will take us up in flight. Are you following what I'm saying here? To meet Christ up in the cloud. In our case, the bride price also has been paid, which is the blood. Are you following me now? That's the blood. Alright, so there is also the second coming. The second coming is what we will have before we now have the millennium reign. In essence, after rapture, the earth has only 7 more years. 7 what? Years. Alright? Years where the Antichrist... After rapture, there's going to be tribulations all over the world. Because some pilots will be flying, and then all of a sudden the cabin is empty. Alright? And people will be inside, they will die. Some drivers will be driving on the highway, they are taken, and passengers will be left. Some doctors will be performing surgeries, they are taken, and the patient will be there. So there's going to be something greater than COVID-19 pandemic. It's going to be like the noise in Egypt the day that they lost their firstborn. So in every part of the world, the nations of the earth will be mourning at once. Then suddenly, a man will show up and say, I have the solution. Then the whole earth, because disaster reveals leaders. Alright, that time the world will be in need of a leader desperately. Then the whole earth will wander after him. So he's going to make a 3 years deal with the earth, with the people, 3 years of peace deal. It will be at a time that the fight between Israel and their 7 Arab nations surrounding them will be heightened. So he's going to sign a pact deal of peace with Israel. Alright, if I'm going to go further again, one of the things he's going to do is that, like Donald Trump, is going to successfully move the embassy back to Jerusalem away from Tel Aviv. It is in that temple of Solomon that will have the fulfillment of Daniel chapter number 11, that it will set up abomination in holy places. All right, there will declare himself as God. In the first 3.5 years, yes, there will be peace, but it's going to break it in between, and then we'll now have a compulsory legislation. All right, similar to what we are having now. One of the major things to watch out for in the last days is the control tool of fear. Yesterday, someone from South Africa sent me a video of Nigeria where Edo State Governor was talking about people, if you don't take the vaccine, all right, you'll not be allowed to go to church, you'll not be allowed to go for functions, you'll not be allowed to do many things and all those things. And I have several people who have also taken these vaccines and are still COVID positive. I was with one of my mentees yesterday, works in Lagos with a multinational firm, and he said, he's been COVID positive for 2 weeks. I said, wow. He said, but guess what, sir? I took the vaccination, the complete dose. If it is not working, why force people? But I'm not saying anything, all right? But I'm saying there's going to be logical reasons for all these things that will happen. In fact, people then may not even know that scripture is being fulfilled, because they will all follow logic. That's one thing to watch out for. For instance, take the vaccine follows the logic of the fact that there's a pandemic. They will all follow logic. That's where prophecies get fulfilled and people don't even know, because it will make sense. Are you seeing that now? So behold, he cometh with the clouds. So he didn't say he cometh in the cloud. He cometh with the cloud of witnesses, believers. That's the second coming. We are the ones that, at the second coming, we are going to ride on a horse with Jesus. Amen. The millennium reign is going to take place here. I don't want to go, I've taught this, but I don't want to go, or I don't want to jump the gun. The kings of the earth will set themselves against the Lord. That was what David was prophesying in Psalms 2. And against his anointed, saying, come, let us break their bands and cast their cords asunder. But he that sit in the heavens shall laugh. Alright? Because the whole world will set their atomic bomb. So, there are many things that will take place in the earth. The mystery of the two witnesses in the earth. If Jesus will come tomorrow, next tomorrow, it means the two witnesses are already amongst us and we don't even know. But they will not come looking like it. They will come as normal men. Are you following what I'm saying here? Alright? So he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him. And all the kingdoms of the earth shall wail because of him, even so, amen. Let's flush. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, says the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and in the patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet. So let me explain this. When he said, I was in the Spirit, there's something called the visitation of God. So, God set his heart that he's going to visit his children. God spoke to me years ago and he said, you have heard and read about many people that I give access to me to see the things that must come to pass. He said, but of all that you have read, prepare yourself. For when the time comes, I will give you access to see and to know and to write in greater measures. So I know that there's a phase of my ministry that is 100% prophetic and 100% writing that which I've seen, of which my generation will not receive until we have gone to join Christ. Are you seeing that? Now it's a covenant. When that season comes, that's the Lord's day. It is not a day, it is a season. So he said, when that season came, I was in the spirit. If I was not in the spirit, it will pass. So God can have promises and things that he said to do. But you see, you can enter that season without the lenses of the season. Alright? And then it will just pass like God never said it. So when the devil hears that ahead, he tries to give you something you'll be worshipping. That when the season comes, you will not be in the spirit. Are you following what I'm saying now? That when the season comes, you will not be in the spirit. So I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Like what we had in Ezekiel chapter number 37. Alright, that's the Lord's day. The Lord took him in the spirit into something. So you should be in the spirit 24/7 as a believer. But you see, not every day is a day that God wants to reveal something. Are you following what I'm saying here? God waits for people. Alright. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet. What does this mean? Joel 2 verse 1. A great voice as a trumpet. What does this mean? Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm. Please go back now. So, if he's saying I heard a great voice as a trumpet, it means the voice I heard is a quickening voice. A what? Quickening voice. A voice of alarm. That alerts my spirit. There is no trumpet without a signification. Alright? So, it's a voice that is announcing. Trumpet is used to announce the commencement of something new. When the enemy is trying to invade the land, the trumpet has a sound. There's a sound they blow. And then they know. So, this trumpet came also with a sound. I was in the spirit and had a great voice. Alright? As a trumpet, yes. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega. The first and the last, what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. And I've showed to you that that's Asia Minor, the current day Turkey. Unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Yes, please. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Seven golden what? Now, in prophetic visions, God doesn't, it is not an excursion. It is not sightseeing. Everything that God is showing has a significance. So God showed him seven golden candlesticks. Yes, continue. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one, like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot. Are you there? Can I tell you what this means? I saw one like the Son of Man. Now, what you should notice is that nobody was telling John, this sounds like a trumpet. This is like the Son of Man. He's talking about the impression in his spirit when he saw. In the spirit realm, things have a way of introducing themselves. When he saw Jesus, he actually saw the original intention of God about man. This is the Son of Man. The same way Adam saw Eve. This fellow here is a woman. This is a woman. Because she was brought forth out of a man. Is not normal. So what he saw, the nomenclature was based on the impression of his spirit And that's why Christ was called Son of Man, because he was the only first true man to walk the earth and fulfill the intentions of God. What God saw in his spirit when he said, come, let us make man in our own image. Christ was the typical example of it. Alright? So, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto Son of Man, clothed with white garment. Alright? Showing that he is unspotted. Down to the foot, and girt about with paps, with a golden girdle. Alright, you just leave it here about this. We can go on and on into the significance of the dressing and all those things. But let's go to verse 14. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. I remember my first encounter with Jesus. When you see that this Jesus we are talking about is real, something happens to your perspective, your work, your seriousness, as if they burn the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Verse 16. And he had in his right hand seven stars. So I'm going to define all these things in no time. Alright, number 6. Seven what? Stars. Alright, alright. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his brightness, in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Verse 19. Write these things which thou hast seen, and these things which are, alright, which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. I believe this is the last verse. Am I right? It's just one more verse? Okay. The mystery of the seven stars, alright, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The angels of the seven what? Churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou seest are the seven churches. Alright? So that's what he was showing him. So let me explain. What did he say the seven stars are? The angels of the seven churches. So if you read from Revelation 2, you say, unto the angel of the church at Smyrna. Right. Alright? The angel there describes the shepherds of those churches, the pastors of those churches. But where were they? In the hands of God. In the hands of Christ. Are you following what I'm saying here? Alright, so he said unto the angels, right? And he said, the seven, alright, candlesticks that you saw. Go back to that verse 19. Verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven golden what? Candlesticks. The seven golden what? Candlesticks. Alright? So most times people confuse the seven golden candlesticks for the seven lampstands. They are two different things. Alright, the lampstands describe the operation of the Spirit of the Lord. Seven dimensions of the Spirit of God. Is that okay now? In Isaiah 11, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, of might, and all those things. Alright? So, one, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Number two, a servant will best understand this. Those in active service. Those concerned about the propagation of God in the last days. Not just those who want to know it for intellectual purposes. There is a separate code given to those who are in active service as children of God to be able to decode this. Alright? The timing for the fulfillment of all these things is short. Why? Majority of the things said in this book of Revelation has already come to pass, while there are some that are yet to come to pass. For instance, the messages sent to the seven church always carry the conditional clause. Alright, do this or else I remove your lamp. Alright, do this or I remove. Alright, all these churches are no longer in existence. Why? At some point they all rebelled against those words. Are you following what I'm saying here? So some of these things have already come to pass. So the seven churches also. So you must understand, a 1,000 years on earth is like a day before God. So the God's definition of shortly, alright, may be different from yours. Are you following what I'm saying here? So if he says shortly, it means these things are very short. It won't take time before they start coming to pass. Alright? And then talk about the seven spirits. Alright? The seven what? Spirit. Alright? So that was what I was mentioning then in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 11. Give us that scripture. Alright? Isaiah chapter number 11. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. No, start from verse 1 so you can have clear understanding. Talking about a stem. And there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord, that is, upon him, God will be able to exercise his lordship. Are you following what I'm saying here? The Spirit of who? The Lord. Say it. The Spirit of who? The Lord. So that's a dimension. We never saw this mentioned throughout Genesis, because there was no man for God to lord over. Are you following what I'm saying here? So, and that's why you must understand that dominion is the effect of the Spirit of the Lord. You will dominate to the degree that God can lord over you. Are you following what I'm saying here? So the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, 2, and understanding, 3, counsel, 4, and might, 5, knowledge, 6, and of the fear of the Lord, 7. These are the seven spirits of God. Sometimes we have one of them operating in a life. Sometimes we have 2. Sometimes we have 3. Sometimes we have none. There are Christians who are not operating. And sometimes we have people who are conducive hosts of the seven operations of God. Alright? Meaning that the operations of God will always fall within these seven categories. Are you following what I'm saying here? Alright, and that's what you should pant for. Alright, so we also saw the order of events. Talking about is going to come with the clouds. And the question you really need to ask yourself, alright, is that will I be in that cloud? Because you have to be there. That's the cloud of those who will reign with Christ. You see, the head will not stop having problem. After COVID, something worse than COVID will happen. It must happen because scripture says so. Alright? There are many prophecies about the last day. One, America is going to fall. And they've started the journey. America is going, you see, there are nations that have a key role to play in the move of God. Alright? You believe that Nigeria is a leading nation when it comes to revival. Why? Our adversity has pushed us towards God. We may lose that position after comfort. So, while you are saying that God changed this government, we need gatekeepers who are seeing the things that can happen when Nigeria becomes like Dubai. Alright, the church of God best spread and advance in the midst of tribulation. And that's why you will notice during COVID, every true church expanded. Doesn't make sense. That's why the fastest growing churches in the world are not even in America or Nigeria. They are in Iraq. Alright, in China. In China, they have a community system. Alright, we have a meeting with different international participants every week, but we have our own service. I have one of my mentees there who come online from China. Alright, and she explained. If they don't catch you worshipping, it's a communist system. Your God is your president. They must not see you running any church. Or best, they have some churches that they've regulated the content. The things that they can say or not say. Alright? But we have underground churches in those places. That's the assembly of two or three gathered together. Are you following what I'm saying here? Alright? Then we have fast-growing church in China, in Afghanistan, in Iran. These areas, God is moving speedily. So, while you are asking that God, we want Nigeria to advance, and I'll tell you reasons why Nigeria needs to advance. Number one, revival, the last phase of revival is not even just people turning to God. The last phase of revival is nation turning to God, reformation. Alright, so our revival is not complete until Nigeria is reformed. But it is important we notice that the devil also operates at best when there is comfort. Are you following what I'm saying here? It will amaze you that you begin to have leaders who will now begin to talk about things of homosexuality. As a matter of fact, the worst persecution of Nigeria can come after Nigeria is developed. And that's why it is important that the church must champion the development. The church needs to champion the development. If the world should champion the development, they will put in their codes and their values. Alright? Are you following what I'm saying now? As a backdrop to those developments. But if the church should, we can quickly infiltrate the system and inject the code and the values of God. So we are not just talking about national development. We are talking about the church championing it. If not, the revival that we now celebrate in Nigeria, you need to know that what's going on is a revival. You need to know. No, you need to know that what we have now, the reason why you may doubt it is if you are not revived. And there's one cry I have. Alright? And that's the cry that, Lord, help me that in my lifetime, I will earnestly contend for the faith that has been delivered unto us. Nigeria is not going to lose this position, not while I'm here. We will fight for it. We will raise our voice for it. We will bring men back. And you see, that's what happens. We need to bring men back into the fire that refined the fathers. Painfully enough, the message I taught in Lagos was not recorded. And that's a very painful one. I don't like to attend meetings now. Somebody calling for a meeting. I will only come if the essence of the meeting is beyond the meeting. That's why I don't go for meetings where I just say, fall down, take. You think those dimensions are not there? Think if I teach now, that means that I've dropped in power. What's your definition of power? Because the issue is that we're going to define revival in two phases in the body of Christ. The first phase is the phases where we have more babies than mature ones. But the real definition comes when we have more mature ones. You see all this fall down. It's good. It's the move of the Spirit. But as men begin to mature, there's nothing they are falling from. They'll be made to stand. There will be a need for those who can now teach the laws of God. Are you following what I'm saying here? So we are still defining revival by the first phase. By the first phase. And I shared with them that what God said in Joel 2, that the army coming in the last days, there has never been any like them. And there will never be any like them. In fact, that there will never be any like them means that they are God's final agenda, period. Not that God is exhausted. But there has never been any like them looks like a scam. Are you telling me that if we are the last soldiers, God is saying that even Smith Wigglesworth or Robert Kedet, Yegin, Babalola, and all of them, they were not like us. That's the meaning of that scripture. God is simply saying that we are greater. The same way he told John the Baptist, he told his disciples that of all born of woman, there is none as great. That statement looks like a scam. If you put John the Baptist side by side, let's look at Samuel. God's yardstick for rating men is different. God said there's none like him. So God is now saying that if I bring a believer from this 21st century and I bring Babalola up according to scriptures, and I'm going to tell you why God is saying that this one is not like this one. Two things. One, they are fighting different levels of evil. In the days of Babalola, people were not struggling with pornography then. They were not struggling with all those things. But now evil has advanced in the head. But this guy should also know that that doesn't mean you prayed more. That doesn't mean you seek God more. That doesn't mean you are fasting more. The God is saying this generation is stronger because they are standing on the shoulders of all men who have passed. So I used an illustration and I took an handkerchief. All right, take this handkerchief to the back quickly. Okay, no. Come. Take mine. Everyone at the right on the aisle, just use it to scrub the floor. Give your neighbor in front. Quickly. Do that quickly. I want to show you something. Yeah. Just scrub the floor once. Give your neighbor. Yes. Now, that's like humanity. Different levels of decadence passed over from different generations. Different level of decadence. No, scrub the floor well. Why are you being humble about it? Different things that the devil has done to humanity entirely from different generations. All right? The men that we have on this side are those who washed it, who tried to make it clean in their own generation. Our generation is the generation that is receiving the sum total of mess and the work the fathers have done and stopped. So we are the final persons to wash this. The first people who washed it washed at the point that the problems were not too much. But we are the ones to now wash the mess. You know that even if they have been washing, at least it will have been fading somehow. Talk to me now. We cannot get this done unless we are standing on the wisdom of those who have washed in time past. It is because of the collective graces. God said, why should you not be better than them? In the days of Hagin, there was no Hagin he read to become Hagin. Now you have Hagin to read, plus Oral Roberts to read, Miles Monroe to read, Idahosa to read. Why? You can't read all these things and be less. You must be foolish. So we can stand on collective effort. And that's why it is not a kingdom of accomplishment. It is a kingdom of inheritance. There are things I know that to say you will despise what I'm teaching and yet you want to go and teach them is for the key not to be open to you. Because if you stand on them, now you can now be able to now reach for the ones God has revealed to you and become better. Are you following what I'm saying here? The things I'm teaching, I'm also standing on the shoulders of men and see collective works. Men that in different generations, God revealed different things and all of them make sense together. Are you following what I'm saying here? Alright? So there's a lot that is expected from this generation as touching the move of God. These things will come to pass shortly. This statement was said close to 2,000 years ago. What is the meaning? Some are coming to pass. Some have come to pass. When we get there, I'm going to show you. Alright? Particularly the issue of the horse rider of the apocalypse. You don't know what's going on. We are probably about to have the last horse rider. People are saying, when will these things happen? Prophecies have a way of being fulfilled. Women are still thinking they are ahead. What you are expecting is an African magic. Something dramatic. Alright? But it's going to be a natural, normal course of life. And that's why it calls for wisdom. Let him that readeth understand what is written in this book. So, we need men that if you are sitting with news, the only reason you are sitting with news is to check what chapter is this in the Bible. What prophecy is being fulfilled? The rise of radical Islamism in Afghanistan. Because you need to understand. Let me just say something, alright? What happened in Afghanistan is similar to what happened in 1960 in Nigeria. When the British came to Nigeria, when they ruled, they worked more with those who were in the West. Because the Yorubas were the first educated set of people and quite some Igbos. But when they were going to hand over power, there was a mock war in Sokoto and they handed over the scepter of the nation to the Sultan of Sokoto. Alright, similar to what happened with the Hutus and the Tutsis also. They worked with a segment, then handed over power to another segment. The corruption of America will be judged What happened in America, they function with some people and yet stylishly abandon them and then give power over to Islam so they can have underground control and rule. You can't tell me that's not. It's been a system. If you study history, you understand what I'm talking about. You can't tell me America was foolish enough to hand it over power just like that. And that's why America is going to fall. It's just a matter of time. It's a nation of corruption. Worse than Nigeria. But covered with liberalism and all those things. The church needs to see beyond headlines. And sometimes to understand the present, you need to know the past. You saw what happened at Kabul? Over 100 people bombed. One of our friends from UK, rise to your feet please, sent me a memo yesterday. And I shared it on my Facebook. Let me show it to you. And I'm going to show you this so you can understand what's going on. So, someone wrote about Kenneth Copeland. And he said the one the world and the church judged for having private jets in his possession. The one whom the church condemned for his message called the gospel of prosperity. The one we called crook and thief. Today is the man, you see, who went with these private jets to save over 1,500 persecuted Christians who fled Afghanistan. Meanwhile, the church is still looking for how to pay rent for the place of worship. Instead of criticizing, let us work and become prosperous. Let us become the solution to global problems. I still pray that the Lord sparks millionaire Christians all over the world. The kingdom needs this. So you see America trying to take responsibility for the evacuation of over 1,500 people. Leaders, all over, they came together and dubbed their jet and were evacuating people. Evacuating people. I mean, it happened in less than a week. One thing the church must pay attention to again and again in this season is fear and intimidation. Don't listen to what is going on social media more than you listen to God. You will not know something is happening to you by paying attention to what they are saying. If they criticize me, all right, or they criticize any man of God you respect, the attack is not on me or them. The attack is on your mind. Because you don't also, nobody likes confrontation. So you say, how can I just shy away from this? So we're in a generation that see wise pastors are those who are not criticized. You are lying. That's not the wisdom of God. If they hate Christ, they will hate us. So we need to earnestly contend for all that is ours in redemption. That's what we are to defend. That's the kind of soldier that we are. I won't mind criticism as long as I'm going to stand that this truth is established. Who are those that will criticize me the most? Church. Who are those it is meant for? The church. Maybe another generation will now arise. I will understand. We need to bless God for the fathers. They took many heat for the things we are really saying now. Many heat. I'll share with my people when Archbishop Benson Dausa died. Contrary to what we are hearing today, they actually rejoiced in the land and said, finally, the occultic pastor is gone. Fact. It is now that we now look back and say, Archbishop. In his days, it wasn't so. And many of them like that. Hated. Go check Kenneth E. Now you read Kenneth E. again. Listen to his message and you're excited. He was called the Prince of Devils. People were not falling under the anointing even in the midst of Arubat. Go check his videos. Until people like Kuhlman came and brought a new flavor. A woman. And she would stand and dialect. Now, was that possibility available then? Yes. It was not possible until their hearts were open to it. So many things are available in God, but it will not be possible until your heart can accept them. That doesn't mean God is powerless. Are you following what I'm saying here? Lift up your right hand and say, God, help my generation. Please pray that prayer loud and clear. And say it. Help our generation that we receive insight. We know how to wage good warfare. In the name of Jesus. Help our generation. Help our generation. Father, I ask that you will help us. That you will help us. In the name of Jesus. I ask, Lord, that you help our heart. In the name of Jesus. We give you praise. Thank you, Father. Stretch out your hands, everyone. Father, I ask, amongst the men who are receiving insight, like the sons of Issachar, to understand times and seasons, let these ones be among them. I ask that there is a covering of a new dimension of God as we go into this series. You'll be granted access to mysteries of scriptures in the name of Jesus. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we have praise.
Is evident for doers and not just hearers of the word. Be a doer of these words of transformation.
To reach us, send an email to femilazarus326@gmail.com. Stay blessed.